Amen. All right, let's get right into this. Last week we had talked about the first issue was that invitation to conform. And we tried to show the distinction between conformity and compromise. And that idea of conformity has to do with your thinking. The world tries to get us to conform to their way of thinking. And that's what Pharaoh was trying to do with Moses. And he pretty much succeeded with Israel, because you go through their thinking all the way through the wilderness, and their thinking is still, they have conformed to the Egyptian thinking. That's why they make a calf. That's why they, you know, all these different things, and they wish they could go back to Egypt, to the different things that they had there, even though they were in captivity. And so their mind was, their thinking was conformed to Egypt. And many times ours is conformed to the world. Well, secondly, now we see the temptation to compromise. Once you conform someone to your thinking, then the next step is you'll be able to get them to compromise. Most people do not compromise until you have conformed their thinking. So after their thinking has been conformed, now they have the temptation to compromise. And Moses, or Pharaoh rather, offers Moses the first compromise. Compromise number one. You find this in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 25. It says, "And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." Now, what he's doing here, he says, yes, you can go ahead and worship, but there's going to be some strings attached here. And you'll notice that he puts strings all the way through. Whenever they say but, or whenever they say if, well, you know that there's strings attached to whatever they're saying. So he said, yes, you can worship, but you must worship in the land. That's like, and I've heard people say over and over, you can be a Christian, just leave your religion at home. You ever heard that? Sure. I remember, you know, in the military, they said, check your God at the door. Well, how do I do that when he lives in me? You can be a Christian, but there's two things you can't talk about. They are religion and politics. Who said that? Who made that rule? That conformity to the world's thinking. The world has taught us that, and we have conformed to the world's thinking. And that's why that phrase is always on our on the top of our mind there, because that's what people have taught us, and that's, we go through the years. Well, we're going to get together with family. Well, we can't talk about religion, and we can't talk about politics. Wrong. I can talk about both of them, and if they want to be wrong, they can be. But, you know, I'm going to talk about it. I like talk about my God. I like talk about, I mean, what part of my life does not have to do with religion? Well, what I eat has to do with religion. What I drink has to do with religion. The people I'm around have to do with religion. Whatever I do in everyday life has to do with my religion. How can I not discuss religion? But they've got us thinking in these categories. You can be a Christian, but if you expect a promotion, or if you expect to succeed, or if you're going to get anywhere in this, now you're going to have to go and attend the parties, or you're going to have to put in bogus receipts or bogus claims and things like this. You're going to have to go to the cocktail parties you know, with a business, or you're going to have to go to the Christmas party, which is nothing but an alcoholic bash. You're going to have to go to our convention in the Las Vegas casino, and things like this. Military chaplaincy, when I first got saved, I thought, well, and God burdened my heart about the military. I said, well, maybe I can go back into the military. I mean, I was still in the military at the time, but I'm thinking to myself, maybe I could go ahead and go back as a military chaplain and reach the military guys there. And so I started doing research about military chaplains. One of the first requirements, now it is not a law, but one of the first requirements is that you join the officers' club. Why? Because you're an officer. Now, they cannot make it a requirement because if you have religious beliefs against it, they can't force you to do it. But if you don't, you will be passed over. In other words, you will not make rank, and you will be put out of the military. So you'll go nowhere. So all your time is basically wasted. I remember a chaplain, Chaplain Law, is a wonderful man. He come to our base there in Torrejon. He started, people in the chapel were amazed. He got in there in the chapel and said, you bring your Bible to chapel. And he said, you follow along with everything I say. And I mean, boy, he was rearing back and preaching the Word of God. And then he got him a radio broadcast preaching on AFRS, the radio station there, the military radio station. And I mean, he was shelling corn. He come out, he put his kids, not in the school on base, he put his children in our Christian school. I mean, this guy, they didn't have services on Wednesday, so he'd come out and attend our services on Wednesday night until they heard about it. And they started sending him on absolute remote assignments, some of the dirtiest assignments and the worst assignments, and for periods of time. And they told him, you got to tone down and you got to change some things. And it wasn't long before they pulled him off the radio broadcast. He quit telling people, preaching hard in the chapel, you don't have to bring your Bible, you know, whatever. He ended up pulling his kids out of our school. Quit. They didn't want him to come on Wednesday nights, so he quit that. They had his wife playing for the honky-tonk days they had big celebrations over there, and so they had her playing the honky-tonk piano at their big beer parties and stuff. If you don't, you can worship, but if you don't do what I say, then you're not going to succeed. You're not going to be able to go on. You're not going to make rank or anything. And finally, he compromised. That's all it is. He simply compromised. People talk about separation of church and state. It means that there would be no state church. There would be no state religion. It had nothing to do with religion in the government. Because if you read the Constitution, you read all the different things, George Washington in his farewell address said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. So the president of our nation, first president, very adamant and open about his support of religion in the government and religion and morality in the government. James Madison, father of the Constitution, believed in religious freedom as a God-given right. Who gives these things? Who gives the right? Who gives us the right to meet? Not our government. It's God-given. And that's why Pastor went, when the COVID thing, and we realized that what was going on, with just a couple of weeks, he went to the mayor and said, look, I appreciate what y'all are trying to do, but we will start having services. The government does not tell us that we can or cannot worship or how we can worship. Down in I believe it was Dallas a few years back, they were the mayor and the city council and everybody was going to make the pastors turn in their sermon before they ever preached them on Sunday. Many of them conformed. Our independent Baptist folks just told them no, basically, in those uncertain terms. Declaration of Independence influenced the Bill of Rights, and it refers to these things that the laws are our documents are full of references to God. It talks about the laws of nature and nature's God, not Mother Nature. Whoever come up with Mother Nature? Mamas are nice, but God is not a woman. Hello? He says that we are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Not rights that are given by government. They're given to us by God. These are endowed by the creator. So the first thing that Moses is confronted with here, first the thinking that has permeated Israel, that conformity, but now Moses or Pharaoh comes and says, okay, you can worship, but there's a compromise here. Now, I want you to see his courageous response. You talk about courageous. He's talking to the number one guy in the world. I mean, this guy is the most powerful fella in the world. Notice he gives this courageous response in verse number 26, Exodus chapter 8. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. They did not know what they were going to do. They didn't have no Ten Commandments. That Dennis and I was talking before about where God placed all of the people in Numbers and all of this, and they didn't have that. They didn't have the organization. They didn't have the worship system. They didn't have none of that. All Moses had was the command of God that they were to go 3 days into the wilderness and worship him. And everybody. And so, what a response. He said, "What we're going to do, whatever he commands us to do. That's the right attitude. What a courageous response. It is not meet so to do. What you're asking is not going to work. Their lambs, their cattle, their rams, they were all considered gods. That's why when God comes in and he starts putting these plagues on them, he puts them on the flies, he puts the plagues with the frogs and all of this. Why? Because they were considered gods. They literally worshiped all these things. The same thing over in India. They worshiped the cows. They worshiped the rats. They worshiped all of these. Can you imagine worshiping a rat? Kill that thing. I would not go well in India. And Moses said, look, if we go out here, we're going to be sacrificing your gods. And he said, Pharaoh, just think for a minute. Your people are going to stone us. This is not going to work, what you're talking about, what you're saying. Now, when you conform to the world, it doesn't have to be rational thinking. I mean, if you have a nation full of sodomites, transvestites, whatever, you're not going to reproduce. I mean, just rational thinking. And your country's doomed. It's done. After that generation, you don't exist. This is what's happening in the churches. Because people, they hear it and they say, we believe in it, and yes, we ought to go soul winning, but they never go soul winning because from that point on, you watch, there's no kids in the school or in the church. I've heard this over and over and over. We've visited this church. There's no children. Why? Does that mean people don't have kids? No, they do. But there's nothing there for it. They're not winning people. They're not out there soul winning. They're not bringing people to Christ. And when you don't bring the people to Christ, you end up with a whole group of old people that don't do anything. They just come to church. And that's why in our wiser society, I encourage you all the time, look, we've got to be out there. We have the opportunity. We have the time. We don't have to push a clock. We can witness to people. We can do these things. We have that opportunity now. We don't just, when we get to the wiser society, just die. I mean, that's all we live for. No. We still live for God, because if we don't, the church will die right around us. And that's not what we need to do. But in order to not compromise, in order to be able to go to the world and say, look, this is what you're wanting me to do, and this is why I cannot do it, you have to know the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, you know what God said or what He's commanding, so you don't know if it's your idea or somebody else's idea, or maybe it was Grandma or Uncle Bruce said this, and you can't take them to the Word of God and show them why. Remember it says, be ready to give them an answer to every man that asketh a hope. That's not just salvation. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about life. Why do you do this? Why do you not do this? Why do you not compromise? Why do you draw the line and say, this is where I'm at? And I'm not going to compromise. It's all about knowing the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, it's easy to compromise. It is, because you they've conformed your thinking, and now you'll just go along and do whatever they want. I'll show you here in a little while. Now, so Pharaoh gives a proposal of compromise here. He said, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go. Now, isn't that what they wanted? Let my people go? So Pharaoh says, verse 28, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go. To do what? That ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. I thought that's what he wanted. Isn't that what Moses wanted? The next word. Only. Another string. He's going to have propose another compromise to Moses. He says, only ye shall not go very far away. You shall not go very far away. You can worship. We'll let you go. You can go out here and do your thing. But you're not going to go very far. When God said, let my people go. That was a total relinquishing of authority or power over them completely. That's what God said. But then notice something that I think we so often miss. He says, entreat for me. Entreat for me. So we have the compromise number two. He said, I want you to work with me on this. We'll let you go. I want you to go, but I want you to pray about it. Now, wait a minute. You ever have somebody say that? They're talking with you and they're proposing something and it doesn't really seem right, or you're just not sure. Well, just pray about it. Anybody ever ask you to do that? Why? They want you to compromise your thinking. Now, sometimes, obviously, pray about this. That's good. But his intentions were not at all good. He said, I want you to entreat for me. I want you to pray about this. You know, Moses already knew what God wanted him to do. He'd already rehearsed that back to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh is trying to subvert this. He's trying to undermine what God says by being religious. Why don't you just go and pray about it? That's dangerous. You need to know who you're talking to, and you need to know why they're saying what they're saying when they ask you to pray about it. Are they really wanting you to seek God's will, or are they really wanting you to just change your mind and compromise to do what they want you to do? Go ahead and worship, but don't get carried away. Only ye shall go not very far away. Don't go overboard. Don't become a fanatic. Don't become a fundamentalist. Well, what is a fundamentalist? How many of you would say, I am, and I am proud of being a fundamentalist? I wish I could jump up on this pulpit and shout, I am a fundamentalist from top to bottom. Because people, the world, we have conformed to the thinking of the world. When we hear the word fundamentalist, we think of Islam. We think of those radicals that are killing people and everything. They're supposed to. They're supposed to. Now stop and think about that. You ever heard of a hunter's Bible? A hunter's Bible. They've got them. You can buy them. It's a hunter's Bible. It tells you all about hunting. It goes back to how you're supposed to hold the gun, how you're supposed to do this, how you're supposed to clean the gun, all these things. It's a hunter's Bible. There's a golfer's Bible. I mean, they got a Bible for just about everything. A fundamentalist is one who believes and practices their faith as taught in their religion, their Bible, their handbook, or their manual. Whatever it is, they are believing and they are practicing what the fundamentals are. For example, what do they always say in spring training? What do we got to do? We had a losing season last year. What's the first thing they tell you to do? Go back to the fundamentals. Well, what's the fundamentals in basketball? Anybody? What's the fundamental in basketball? Dribbling. Shooting. Rebounding. Some of y'all just, either you're slow or you never played basketball. Come on. Rebounding, shooting, footwork, free throws, the fundamentals, guarding, all of these things. You've got to get back to the fundamentals, because when you do the fundamentals, you're going to practice, you're going to do on the court exactly what you're supposed to. Do you know every play in football is designed to make a touchdown? If the people on the offense do their job, every play will go for a touchdown. Problem is, somebody messed up. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. And consequently, the guy gets tackled or sacked or whatever. So in sports, you have the fundamentals. In Islam, I remember I had a guy who was a Muslim guy working on my vehicle. And I'm witnessing to him and talking with him. And I said, now you're a Muslim, yeah. You're a good Muslim, oh yeah. I said, then why aren't you trying to kill me? He stopped and kind of looked at me. I said, in the Quran, it says that I am an infidel. Right? I said, and it says that you are to kill all infidels. Right? Well, yeah, but I don't believe that. I said, then why are you a Muslim? If you don't believe the Quran, why are you a Muslim? If you do not practice what the Quran teaches, then why are you even a Muslim? Is it just a name that you tag onto yourself? And he really had to start thinking, and we had quite a conversation for quite some time. The Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. That's why it's in our Constitution. Do you believe, cover to cover, the Word of God? Do you practice what the Word of God teaches? Or are you a strawberry Christian? A strawberry Christian, you know how they got these fields and you go out and they'll give you a little basket and you can go out and you can pick the ones you want. Well, I like that one, so you put that in your basket. Well, those are good, but I don't like those. And then I'll grab this one and I'll put it in the basket. And you pick what you want and forget the rest, even though they're good. And that's the way a lot of Christians are. They cherry pick. They strawberry pick. They just pick what they want and believe that. And they don't believe the other and don't practice the other. How many of you believe that we're supposed to be witnesses? How many of you witnessed this week? Don't raise your hand. Why then do you call yourself a Christian? We are fundamentalists. Fundamentalists believe and practice what the Bible says. That's why we go to the Bible. That's why these Islamists do what they do. They believe what the Quran teaches. But why do we call ourselves Christians if, and that's what Jesus said, why do you call yourself, well, call me Lord and do not the things that I say? You see, it comes back to this matter of compromise. The Christian is one that believes and practices the fundamentals of the faith. If I ask you, what are the fundamentals of the faith? Most people, even in Bible college, could not tell me what the fundamentals of the faith are. If you don't know what they are, how do you know where you stand? How do you know what to do? We boil them down, basically. There's all kinds of, a lot of things you can get into, but there's really, fundamentals are in four parts. God's Word, God's person, God's Son, and God's grace. That's it. Out of those, when you get to God's Son, you go into the deity, you go into the virgin birth, you go into all of these, you know, in the Word, you go into inspiration and preservation and all those things. But the fundamentals, those four, if you get a hold of that, you'll understand the fundamentals. God's Word. God's Word. God's person. Who is He? And the characteristics and aspects of His life. In my devotions every morning, I above each week or each day in the week, I have different characteristics of God, who He is and what He does, so that I can meditate on those for a time before I get into praying and making requests. I want to know who I'm talking with. We need to know these things or we will not practice what we're supposed to. There was a colonel over in Rota, Spain, and they were giving us fits about the chapel and wanted us to go out, compromise, and be a part of the chapel program and give them how much we get in our offerings and our count of how many people come to our services and everything. And we, over and over, we said, we're not cooperating with you. Colonel took me out to lunch one day. I got a free chicken dinner out of it, garlic chicken. But he said, why won't you cooperate with us? I said, well, it's easy. I said, how do you believe a person gets to heaven? He said, well, by grace through faith. But I mean, you know, you believe and repent. I said, that's why. He looked at me about like some of you looking at me. What's wrong with that? Nothing. But I said, what's your Catholic chaplain believe? What's your satanic chaplain believe? What's your Jewish chaplain believe? What's your Methodist chaplain? What's all these other guys and all these other chaplains, what do they believe? They don't believe that. And you're wanting me to cooperate with the chaplaincy. I would have to compromise the command of God to be ye separate. And you're wanting me to compromise and join with you. And I can't because they don't believe. And I said, I could not do what you're doing. You have compromised the word of God and do so for rank and privilege and all of that. I said, I couldn't do that. I enjoyed my chicken dinner and we left. And he said, well, I know where we stand. Churches are all presented with compromise all the time. Length of the service. Oh, he's going too long. Well, preaching's too loud. Well, church is a little bit too hot. Well, church is a little bit too cold. Go to Africa. There are no comfortable benches like this, I'll tell you. Them old benches get hard after about 2 hours of preaching. And if you don't preach that long, they think you've shortchanged them. Why? Because they're there to hear the word of God and be taught. See, we're always entertainment. Boy, if you don't come to church and get entertained, I got news for you. I've never been here to entertain anybody. They may be, but Christians don't seem to think that they've conformed. Well, let me ask you. I remember when I grew up, if I got a rip in my jeans, my mama would say, take those off, give them to me, I'll mend them, I'll patch them, I'll do something. And she wouldn't let us wear them in town or anyplace else. Why? Because they were torn. They were ripped. It's a disgrace. Yet what do we see? All over the place. I can see lost people wearing this stuff. But what have we done? We have conformed to the image of the world. Now, am I going to still love you if you're wearing ripped jeans? Sure I will. But this shows you how our thinking has been conformed. What used to be looked like we drug something out of a trash, now that's high dollar material. We have conformed. And now we start compromising in all these different things, whether it's hair, whether it's dress, whether it's ripped jeans, cussing, drinking. Well, I gotta smoke, you know, do drugs. Well, I gotta be cool, baby. I gotta be cool. Well, why do we buzz the side of our hair and let the top grow out like a carrot? Trying to be cool. That ain't cool, that looks dumb. You see, we conform. And we don't even realize we've conformed to the world. We're more like Egypt than we want people to think. And consequently, we don't teach our kids. We don't teach our grandkids. We don't, all of these things. And where does it come back? Us. We have conformed. Well, what are you, a fanatic? Yes, for Jesus. Are you a goody two-shoes? Well, I got two shoes, yeah. Holier than thou. Did you get religion? Yeah, I did. But I got Jesus Christ more than that. There's a difference. God says there's supposed to be a difference in our lives, and there, it's not there. It's not there. Dr. Chappell always made a quote, and I've heard it since then. Pastors made it. The men and women who have changed the world are the men and women the world could could not change. And there's a lot of truth to that. The men and women that the world could not change are men and, or excuse me, the men and women who have changed the world are men and women who have not or could not change, or the world could not change them. I'll get it right here in a minute. It's in my mind, but it's going crazy. Now, two things and we're done real quick. Willie. Willie Nelson, how many of you know who I'm talking about? Started playing in the honky-tonks and the bars, and every Sunday he would teach Sunday school in a Baptist church. Every Sunday, teaching Sunday school in a Baptist church, just like I'm doing. Pastor confronted him. He said, Willie, you're going to have to make a decision. And this is what Willie said. I decided to stay with the beer joints. The preacher sounded so wrong to me, and I quit the Baptist church. Look, it makes no difference what you think. I have no idea, I'm not judging these people of whether they're saved or lost, but compromise, obvious compromise. World was more important to him. Anybody recognize her? I remember when, who'd we say that was that had a TV? Porter Wagner. I remember when I was a kid, Porter Wagner had this TV broadcast, and when Dolly Parton first came out, he said, it just shocked me. I was a lost kid, but shocked me. He said she would not even sign the contract unless I gave her permission to sing a gospel song each broadcast. And I thought, wow, that is so cool. She used to sing Coat of Many Colors and all that stuff. And a few years back, she produced the movie, The Greatest Little Whorehouse in Texas. Money, popularity, no discernment for sin. You can tell me what you want to tell me, and that's fine. But I see absolute, total compromise on anything of God. The Bible says, and I'll never forget when God showed me this, he said salt water and sweet does not come out of the same faucet. Doesn't come out of the same tap. You can't have sweet water and salt water coming out of the same tap. This is what compromise does. It tries to get you to think that this is sweet water when it's salty. How does it get salty? Compromise. Compromise. The Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity against God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I didn't write that. I agree with it. When we compromise to get along in the world, we are becoming friends with the world. Compromise destroys your relationship with God. It questions your loyalty to God. You become a strawberry Christian, obeying this part but forgetting that part. It destroys your testimony for God. Just following Jesus for what you get is not a testimony. I mean, it sounds good. I want to sing a gospel hymn. But listen to the other 700 songs that are about filth and trash and adultery and drunkenness and vileness and... There's something wrong there. But it encourages others to go the wrong direction. Others want to be like her. Others want to dress like her. Others want to talk like her. They want to sing like her. Wait a minute. Is that leading them to God, or is that leading them away from God? It causes people to question your profession. I question both of them. You can say what you want. I question both of them. Because there's no stability there. Christ is not the focus. Oh, we can get an interview with somebody, and we can get supposedly a godly interview, and then they go out, they do drugs, and they do all this stuff. Willie said he's saved, done drugs all his life. Booze like a tap in the faucet. Filth. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And when you compromise, you show no fear of the Lord. You show more fear of what people think. I got to impress them. I got to be cool. I got to be cool, baby. And when we compromise, we're not pulling the lost people to Christ. We are getting them to question really who we are. We're causing confusion, and we're sending them away from Christ. So the first thing they get us to conform to our thinking, what used to be absolutely wrong according to the Bible, and now it's okay. And then as we're put in situations, whether it be to succeed or whether it's for money or whether it's for a contract or a job or just to, so family members don't get upset with us or somebody doesn't get upset with us because we talk about the Lord. We compromise. And we shut up. We don't say a thing. We'll talk about the weather. We'll talk about everything else, but we won't talk about the Lord. We're not pulling people to Christ. We're literally holding them arm's length and saying, I hope you make it. Compromise. It does not work. And that's what Pharaoh was wanting Moses to do. Father in heaven, I ask you to bless the service to follow. Lord, help us that we might be true and honest with you and that our lives might be one of faith, firm, fundamental faith in you. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.